heard all across the United States, Canada, and around the world. This is the Bible Answer Man broadcast with Hank Hanegraaff. Hank is president of the Christian Research Institute. At CRI, our desire is to equip you not only to defend the historic Christian faith, but to become a winsome witness to a spiritually hungry but skeptical world, because life and truth matter. To learn more or to find resources to help you grow in grace, go to equip.org. To ask Hank a question on air, call 888-ASK-HANK. That's 888-275-4265. And now, here's Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you very much, Randy. Again, the number to dial, 888-ASK-HANK, numerically 888-275-4265. Well, I just got back from the Cancer Center today. My doctor, Dr. Ghosh, who is one of the great doctors, a specialist in my particular disease, mantle cell lymphoma, someone that I appreciate so much. But he read my CT scan and my PET scan, and I was very, very encouraged. The scans of my body show that all of my tumors are shrinking, and most of them are not even measurable anymore. And so the clinical trial that I'm in right now with two drugs, ibrutinib and venetoclax, are working tremendously well. And I'm deeply grateful for that and for the prayers of God's people. I'm thankful that my blood work turned out perfect. I mean, absolutely perfect. My hemoglobin was above 14, for example. And all the indicators were absolutely perfect in concert with a healthy person. And so again, I thank people for their prayers and for standing with me in this ministry, shoulder to shoulder, in the battle for life and truth. I'm greatly encouraged today as I kick off the broadcast. Again, the number to dial, 888-ASK. Hank, there's a lot I want to say, but let me go to the phone calls first. First, Susanna, listening in Seattle, Washington, on KKMC. Hi, Susanna.
Yes. Hi, Hank. How are you?
I'm doing great.
Yeah, thank you for calling me. I don't have a question, but I have a comment. I heard you talking about how universities are very hostile against Christians and conservatives. I am an instructor at the University of Washington, and I am a Christian, and I am a conservative. And at this moment, I am on probation. I am, because of my Christian beliefs, I am being discriminated against, and the administration, the director, they are trying to get rid of me and shut me down and take away my freedom of speech.
Well, Susanna, unfortunately, as Christians, that is precisely what we are going to face in this epoch of time. And I was talking to the author of one of the books that I'm recommending, John Dickerson, the book Hope of Nations, Standing Strong in a Post-Truth, Post-Christian World. And he was talking during that interview, that podcast that I was doing with him today, about how it is true that no matter how difficult the situation becomes, God is bigger than the situation. And we were actually talking about Corrie ten Boom. She was a Dutch woman that helped hide Jews during World War II. And she, along with her sister Betsy, were relegated to a concentration camp. And they suffered horrendous evils. And during one of the most difficult times in her life, Betsy, who died in that communist Nazi prison camp, she said, "There is no pit so deep that he is not deeper still," in her Dutch brogue. And that's exactly true. It doesn't matter whether it's a physical malady that we're facing, as I was just talking about at the opening of the show with my own cancer. I find that in the most difficult circumstances that God is bigger than those circumstances, that the sea in Christ is bigger, for example, than the sea in cancer. And the same thing is true in your situation. If you stand firm, yes, you will suffer persecution. But this is the lot of all Christians, and we see that delineated in Scripture in the most beautiful way. So if you look at Hebrews chapter 11, I call it the Faith Hall of Fame chapter in the Bible. You see people who were shipwrecked and beaten and beheaded. They went out in rags. They lost their social positions. They faced all the indignities that one human being can foist upon another human being. And yet, in the midst of all of that, they remained not only true to their faith, but they ended up being that great cloud of witnesses that is spoken of in Hebrews chapter 12. So I think what's important as you go through persecution is to take the long view. The long view is that you look at your life not in sort of a momentary way. Our life is but a moment, a vapor, here today, gone tomorrow. But we look at it from the standpoint of eternity. And when we do that, our light and momentary problems, whatever they may be, will pale in perspective to God's goodness and grace. But what you're talking about, let me elaborate on that, Susanna. The great German universities, they were founded by Christians. They were overtaken before World War II by all kinds of ideological liberalisms. And that moved those church-founded schools to scoff at Christianity. And then Christianity was expelled from the halls of learning. And what happened in the great German universities 100 years before World War II is precisely what is happening in post-Christian America. Anti-Christian criticism in the American universities is rampant. There's a condescending view of Christianity as sort of an outdated, a dangerous myth, a myth for those who are weak of mind. And I was reading in Hope of Nations, the book that we make available for those who support the ministry all this month, I was reading there about Princeton. And here's another example, Susanna, that applies very much to your situation. Here is the revoking by Princeton of an award. This happened to be an award for Pastor Timothy Keller. He was scheduled to receive that reward from Princeton. But guess what? Due to Keller's biblical position on sexual morality, you end up having that award revoked. And that is the culmination of post-truth in America turning into a post-Christian, anti-Christian view within the American Ivy League universities, but the universities in America in general, and certainly in the state of Seattle. And so, yeah, this is a very, very difficult situation. I'm not making light of it in any way. But I can tell you that if you are firm to your convictions, God will bless you, if not in this world, in the world to come.
Yes, thank you, Ham. That was very encouraging. I needed to hear that. And yes, I need to stay firm, and even if it means losing my job, I thank you very much.
Well, you are welcome, and I am so, so happy that you called today. We live in a very, very dangerous and difficult time. You think about the changes that are in store for all of us as we are transitioning in our culture. The first openly trans person to win the gubernatorial nomination of a major political party is a transgender woman. She just won Vermont's Democratic gubernatorial race. And this is lauded as a defining moment in the United States. And this woman does not even know, and she was interviewed on television recently, and I saw the interview, she doesn't even know what socialism is. And, you know, this is one of the problems that we have in general. And in the book that I was talking about a moment again, Hope of Nations, again, available for those who support the ministry, subtitled Standing Strong in a Post-Truth, Post-Christian World, John Dickerson, who was an award-winning journalist, now a pastor, points out that 18 to 29-year-old Americans are more likely to have a positive view of socialism today than capitalism. And that is a scary turn of events. This is the first generation of Americans ever polled in which more Americans prefer socialism to capitalism. I was reading an article by Walter Williams in the Daily Wire. And in that article, Williams was comparing capitalism with socialism. And he's pointing out in that comparison that capitalism brings a whole lot more satisfaction to our lives than does socialism. Because it turns out that we seldom find people upset with, in conflict with, computer or clothing stores. We do, however, see people dissatisfied with, and often in conflict with, boards of education or sanitation services. So what are the differences? Well, for one, the motivation for the provision of services of computer and clothing stores is profit. So if you're dissatisfied with what they're giving you, with the product, you can fire them. You simply take your business somewhere else. But it's a different matter with public education or with sanitation. If you are dissatisfied, it's impossible to fire them because they're not motivated by profit at all. And a much larger and totally ignored question has to do with the brutality of socialism. In the 20th century, the one-party socialist states of the Union of Soviet Socialist Republics, USSR, a lot of people don't know what USSR stands for. It does stand for the Union of Soviet Socialist Republics, or Germany, Germany under the National Socialist German Workers' Party, or China, the People's Republic of China. They were responsible for over 100 million murders. You don't find that record of brutality in countries that tend towards free market capitalism. So do an experiment, says Walter Williams. List countries according to whether they are closer to free market capitalism or closer to socialist, communist end of the economic spectrum. And then rank the countries according to per capita gross domestic product. Rank the countries according to Freedom House's Freedom in the World report. And what will you find? Well, you'll find that people who live in countries closer to the free market capitalist end of the economic spectrum not only have far greater wealth than people who live in countries towards the socialist communist end, but they also enjoy far greater human rights protection. And Dr. Thomas Sowell, an economist, talks about this. He points out that socialism sounds great. It's always sounded great. And it will probably always continue to sound great. It's great in theory. It is only when you go beyond rhetoric, when you start looking at hard facts, that socialism turns out to be a big disappointment, a disaster. So the problem here is in universities, in schools today, the education has been dumbed down. People don't know about Western civilization. They don't take Western civ classes anymore. They don't know about economics. All they know is what they hear repeated over and over again. They can't discern between wheat and chaff and heat and light. And as a result of that, they fall for the skin of the truth stuffed with a great big lie. Whether it's Susanna's situation, where people think that somehow or other the Christian views are outdated, and therefore if you express them, you're expressing bigotry, and as a result of that, you face persecution, or whether we're talking about how millennials will vote in the next election. It's all a function of not being familiar with truth. And that is our goal at the Christian Research Institute, to make people so familiar with truth that when counterfeits loom on the horizon, you will know it instantaneously. Well, we're coming up to station break. We'll be back on the other side of the break with more of the Bible Answer Man broadcast. As always, the number to dial, 888-ASK-HANK.
When did it become normal for us to expect news of another terror attack, mass shooting, or act of evil? We're not living through typical shifts in a stable society. The tectonic plates are rupturing beneath our civilization. John S. Dickerson wants to help you understand what is happening to our world and prepare you to live fearlessly for Jesus Christ. Together, we can live with unshakable purpose in a changing world. To receive Hope of Nations, Standing Strong in a Post-Truth, Post-Christian World by John S. Dickerson, call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support the Christian Research Institute's life-changing outreaches. 888-7000-CRI or visit equip.org. Don't go anywhere. We're coming right back with more answers from the Bible Answer Man. Breaking the code of the Book of Revelation has become an international obsession. The result has been rampant misreading of Scripture, bad theology, and even bad politics and foreign policy. In the Apocalypse Code, find out what the Bible really says about the end times and why it matters today. Hank Hanegraaff argues that the key to understanding the last book of the Bible is the other 65 books of the Bible, not current events or recent history. The Apocalypse Code offers sane answers to some very controversial questions, such as, what does it mean to take the book of Revelation literally? Who are the Antichrist and the Great Whore of Babylon? And what is the real meaning of 666? Order The Apocalypse Code by Hank Hanegraaff today. Available in softcover, MP3 CD, or MP3 download from equip.org. Or call 888-7000-CRI.
The Christian Research Journal is CRI's award-winning magazine, combining eye-catching design with well-researched articles to equip believers in doctrine, defense, and discernment. Here's what's in the latest issue of the Christian Research Journal. It is important to understand the sources of our modern distaste for the teaching of the doctrine of hell, for they are part of the strongholds characteristic of our times. By critically exploring these sources, we can best instruct children in the essential biblical doctrine of hell and avoid an actual abuse of greater severity, which would be their being unaware of its reality. Other topics include Called to be Mere Ambassadors, The Story of God with Morgan Freeman, The Jesus of Mormonism, and much more. Start your subscription to the Christian Research Journal today by calling 888-7000-CRI, 888-7000-CRI, or subscribe online at equip.org. That's equip.org.
Hank Unplugged is a new podcast brought to you by the Christian Research Institute. For decades, millions of listeners at home and abroad have enjoyed the answers and insights of the Bible Answer Man broadcast. Now, listeners can hear Hank Hanegraaff as he takes you out of the studio and into his study to engage in free-flowing, stimulating discussions on critical issues with some of the brightest, most interesting people on the planet. Hank Unplugged is a podcast designed to range further and dive deeper into both perennial and contemporary issues of interest to thinking Christians. To join the conversation, subscribe to Hank Unplugged on iTunes, equip.org, or wherever you get your favorite podcasts. And make sure you're a part of the conversation. It's a new channel of quality content that serious kingdom change agents won't want to miss.
It is important to understand the sources of our modern distaste for the teaching of the doctrine of hell, for they are part of the strongholds characteristic of our times. By critically exploring these sources, we can best instruct children in the essential biblical doctrine of hell and avoid an actual abuse of greater severity, which would be their being unaware of its reality. All Christian parents and educators should read Is It Abusive to Teach Children About Hell? By Rebecca Valerius in the current edition of the Christian Research Journal. Subscribe to the journal today by calling 888-7000-CRI, 888-7000-CRI, or go online to equip.org. Let's return to the Bible Answer Man broadcast. Here's your host, Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you very much, Randy. Let's go back to our phone callers. The number to dial, 888-ASK-HANK, numerically 888-275-4265. Next up is Wayne in Edmonton, Alberta, Canada, listening on CJCA. Hi, Wayne.
Hi, Hank. How are you doing?
I'm doing great. Thank you.
Yeah, I'm calling. I have a question. A friend of mine on Facebook, he posts a lot of things from, it's called messianicrevolution.com. And when I don't look at all of them, but some of them I look, I'm very skeptical of what he's saying, because I even heard him in comments say that the Trinity isn't real or isn't true, and other things that they say. They seem to use one of their platforms as the Old Testament should be more accepted than what it is, and they try to use reasons that people are, Christians are only viewing the New Testament only. They're not taking into account the Old Testament as one of the examples. But I'm curious if you've heard of this website and what you think of it.
Yeah, I think the guy's name is Rich Oka. It's the Messian.
He's actually my friend that posts it. So when I messengered you guys, and I just put one of his posts there. So he's not, I don't think he's the guy in charge of it, but he subscribes to it, and then he posts it, and then a lot of his friends read it, and some of them seem like they, you know, the way they respond, like their eyes have been opened, but I'm really skeptical of it all.
Well, you ought to be, because, I mean, you mentioned one thing with respect to the Trinity. I mean, this is an essential of the Christian faith. God has taught us how to think about himself. So the idea of a Unitarian God as opposed to a Trinitarian God is about as unchristian as you can get. And I think you're right that this website not only negates the doctrine of the Trinity, but ridicules the doctrine of the Trinity as though it is ludicrous. And, you know, in terms of the Old and the New Testament, Christians do not negate the Old Testament. What Christians understand is that there are types and shadows in the Old Testament that are fulfilled in the New Testament. And therefore, we ought to know about the type and shadow, but we ought not to adhere to the type and shadow. I mean, Jesus made that very clear with respect to dietary laws. Jesus said it's not what goes into a man's mouth and out through his stomach that defiles him, but it's that which proceeds from the heart. And in saying this, Jesus declared all foods clean. So the distinction between clean and unclean food was a type or a shadow. It was pointing forward to a fulfillment. And when the fulfillment comes, you don't go back to types and shadows. Same thing is true with temple, priest, and sacrifice. When the ultimate sacrificial lamb has come, you don't go back to the blood of bulls and goats, because as Hebrews puts it, the blood of Jesus Christ is better than the blood of bulls and goats. So this is not a negation of the Old Testament. It is not saying that the Old Testament has no value. It is recognizing that there's a shadow and a fulfillment. So what happened with the teachers of the law in the first century when Jesus was here? Well, they knew Jesus walked through the doorway of Old Testament prophecies, but they wanted to continue on with their own particular events with the types in the shadows. They didn't want to lose their station. They didn't want to lose their control. And so they crucified the Lord of glory, as opposed to recognizing that he fulfills the civil and ceremonial laws, the types and the shadows in the Old Testament. And you have many things that you find on this website. You, for example, find that somehow or other, the angel of Yahweh or the angel of the Lord is not a pre-incarnate manifestation of Christ. Well, again, why is that? Theology, properly understood, understands angelophanies and theophanies and Christophanies, but they negate this, and they do so on spurious grounds. They, for example, make the seventh day of the week, the Sabbath, observant, not voluntary, but obligatory for all people at all times. Well, the truth of the matter is, what happened with the early Christian church? The early Christian church changed the day of worship to the first day of the week, not because they're changing the fourth commandment, but rather because they're seeing a fulfillment in the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And so we celebrate resurrection every Lord's Day. We're celebrating the fact that Christ rose and we too will rise, immortal, imperishable, incorruptible. We're maintaining the 6 days of labor, the one day of rest. That cycle has not changed, but the emphasis changed, just as it did from the Genesis emphasis to the Exodus emphasis, and now to the resurrection emphasis that we have in the New Testament. So they're a misguided website leading many, many people astray, and unfortunately good at doing that very thing, because people happen to be today quite biblically illiterate. I want to go back to something. Thanks for your call, Wayne. I want to go back to something I was talking about before the break, and that is how so many millennials today prefer socialism over capitalism. And in the book that we're making available, again, Hope of Nations, check it out on the web at equip.org. It's available for those who support the ministry. John Dickerson points out that this shift is not likely due to a proper understanding of capitalism or socialism, but rather one repercussion of the post-truth educational environment in which Western traditions are constantly deconstructed, they're constantly being critiqued, while other world ideologies are praised as, well, equally good, or perhaps even better. So how many of the younger educated Americans today know what I was talking about in the first segment of this broadcast? That the S in USSR stands for socialist, the Union of Soviet Socialist Republics. How many know that the abbreviation Nazi stands for the National Socialist German Workers' Party? How many young educated Americans know that Germany was a socialist democracy in the 1930s, a time when Adolf Hitler was elected, or that Benito Mussolini or Joseph Stalin were both socialists? In the mid-20th century, half the human race, one half of all human beings, were subject to a grand Marxist experiment. You know, Marx believed that he could create an ideal man in an ideal society, that he could draw heaven down to earth. Well, how'd that work in Venezuela? It's unraveling today in starvation and anarchy. And yet more young people today voted for the socialist Bernie Sanders than for Trump and Clinton combined. And that by a whole bunch, a lot. Young Americans are so unaware of Marxism's record that a majority prefer Marxist socialism over capitalism today. It's astounding. I was reading a book by Jay Richards titled Money, Greed, and God. And in that book, Richards points out that instead of starting with man as he really is, communists, well, they tried to create their ideal man in a ideal society. And what that meant for them is one in which perfect equality reigned. You might find that in heaven. You'll never find that on earth. And to have any chance of success, what do they have to do? Well, they had to abolish private property. Why? Because private property is the most obvious sign of inequality. And that doesn't mean no one controls the property, though. It means that the state has to confiscate and control whatever property is in private hands. And so the state simply must coerce, must kill. Why? Because most people don't willingly hand over their property to aggressors. The communists tried to draw heaven down to earth. But what they ended up doing is bringing up hell on earth instead. The more money government confiscates for counterproductive welfare programs, the less money available for charities. Money is not omnipresent. And when people look at socialism and communism, they often think, well, two pies. And there are different ways of taking the pies and dividing the pies. But that simply misses the point. Capitalism is about creating wealth. And in the West, trillions and trillions of dollars have been created, particularly in the time of Christian capitalism. I've said this on the broadcast before, it bears repeating. I hold to Christian capitalism. And what that means ultimately is responsibility associated with the wealth that is created. We will stand before God and give an account for what we did with what we had. We can't take it with us. We can send it ahead. We can lay up for ourselves treasures in heaven. And we do that in the way the West did that. My own birth country, Holland, before it turned socialist, was a great giving nation. Was it a perfect nation? No. It had huge flaws. Same thing with America. America, perhaps the most generous country under the rubric of capitalism in the history of the planet. So we should not negate what we do not understand. I may want to say a little more about that when we come back from the break. When we come back from the break, though, the quote of the day, I think you really want to take this quote and maybe even memorize it. That's coming up after the break. As always, the number to dial, 888-ASK-HANK. And do remember the book that we're making available for those who support the ministry, Hope of Nations, as well as another book that I'm really excited about. It's called The Great Evangelical Recession. We did recommend that some time ago as well. If you don't have that book, that might be another book you want to look into. Again, you can find both of those resources at equip.org. We'll be back with a quote of the day and more in just a bit.
There is no denying it. We live in a post-truth, post-Christian world. But do not despair. Noting that times of great social upheaval are times of great spiritual opportunity, John S. Dickerson writes, "You can live the adventure of this era with great purpose. You can know with confidence that the Creator of this universe has appointed you with your gifts to bring light and life to this moment in human history." To receive Hope of Nations, Standing Strong in a Post-Truth, Post-Christian World by John S. Dickerson, call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support the Christian Research Institute's life-changing outreaches. 888-7000-CRI or visit equip.org. We'll be back in just a moment with more from Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you.
Hank Unplugged is a new podcast brought to you by the Christian Research Institute. For decades, millions of listeners at home and abroad have enjoyed the answers and insights of the Bible Answer Man broadcast. Now, listeners can hear Hank Hanegraaff as he takes you out of the studio and into his study to engage in free-flowing, stimulating discussions on critical issues with some of the brightest, most interesting people on the planet. Hank Unplugged is a podcast designed to range further and dive deeper into both perennial and contemporary issues of interest to thinking Christians. To join the conversation, subscribe to Hank Unplugged on iTunes, equip.org, or wherever you get your favorite podcasts. And make sure you're a part of the conversation. It's a new channel of quality content that serious kingdom change agents won't want to miss.
The Christian Research Journal is CRI's award-winning magazine, combining eye-catching design with well-researched articles to equip believers in doctrine, defense, and discernment. Here's what's in the latest issue of the Christian Research Journal. A major reason mindfulness has been successfully mainstreamed is that we are so overstimulated and chronically busy. Because mindfulness has entrenched itself in American culture, Christians need to investigate it thoroughly in order to determine whether it is friend or foe. Other topics include the Jesus of Mormonism, the philosophy of atheist Bertrand Russell, how does the human soul come into existence, the story of Morgan Freeman, not God, is it abusive to teach children about hell, and much more. Start your subscription to the Christian Research Journal today by calling 888-7000-CRI, 888-7000-CRI, or subscribe online at equip.org. That's equip.org.
Breaking the code of the Book of Revelation has become an international obsession. The result has been rampant misreading of Scripture, bad theology, and even bad politics and foreign policy. In the Apocalypse Code, find out what the Bible really says about the end times and why it matters today. Hank Hanegraaff argues that the key to understanding the last book of the Bible is the other 65 books of the Bible, not current events or recent history. The Apocalypse Code offers sane answers to some very controversial questions, such as, what does it mean to take the book of Revelation literally? Who are the Antichrist and the Great Whore of Babylon? And what is the real meaning of 666? Order the Apocalypse Code by Hank Hanegraaff today. Available in softcover, MP3 CD, or MP3 download from equip.org. Or call 888-7000-CRI. Famous British apologist G.K. Chesterton once noted, "The true soldier fights not because he hates what is in front of him, but because he loves what is behind him." Because at CRI we love what is behind us, our faith, our families, and our freedoms, we will never retreat quietly from the growing assaults on life and truth. Even when the costs are great, we will stand. To join like-minded friends in making a difference at home and around the globe, and to equip fellow believers to stand their ground courageously, become a member of CRI's support team. Simply call 888-7000-CRI. That's 888-7000-CRI. Or visit our website at equip.org. Here again is CRI President Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you so much, Randy. The quote of the day comes from Money, Greed, and God by Jay Richards, subtitled Why Capitalism is the Solution, Not the Problem. This is a book that we have recommended in the past. It is available for those who support the ministry as well. I was looking at it today and I saw this quote. I thought, we'll make this the quote of the day. I think it's profound. Jay Richards, who is a research assistant professor in the Bush School of Business. He's also a senior fellow at the Discovery Institute and executive editor of The Stream, says this: paradoxically, the key source of material wealth in a modern market economy is immaterial. It's spiritual. Wealth is created when our creative freedom is allowed to prosper in a free market environment undergirded by the rule of law and suffused with a rich moral culture. This creative freedom should be no surprise to Christians. We believe that human beings are made in God's image, the Imago Dei. Our creative freedoms reflects the divine image. This is one of the least appreciated truths of economics. Something to cogitate upon. Let's go back to the phone lines. Talk to Thomas. He's listening in Ontario, Canada, on the web. Hi, Thomas.
Hi, Hank. How are you doing?
I'm doing great.
That's great. Great to hear that. Yes, I've called in before, and I just had a question about God having witnesses for his divine judgment of death for sin. And I'm just wondering if you have you ever heard of the two witnesses being, one being his creation, spoken word, and the other witness being his written word?
Well, it is certainly true that both are witnesses. Both are testimonies. I've often talked about the book of nature and the book of knowledge, the one referring to God's creative handiwork, the heavens declare the glory of God, the skies proclaim the work of his hands, or variously we can understand that as what Paul communicates, God's eternal power, divine nature, clearly seen through what has been made, so that men are without excuse. And you also have the Bible as a testimony, a revelation, special revelation as opposed to general revelation. So yes, they're both witnesses, but that's not what is going on in the book of Revelation. The two witnesses in the book of Revelation form a composite image of the law and the prophets that culminate in the life, death, resurrection, and the ascension of a prophet and a priest who is the earnest of all who are his witnesses, of all who will reign with him in a new Jerusalem wherein dwells righteousness. So in light of the biblical imagery that you find in the book of Revelation, the two witnesses are revealed not as two literal people, nor as two books, the book of nature and the book of knowledge. So you don't have two literal people like a future reincarnation of Moses and Elijah, but rather as literary characters in John's apocalyptic narrative. So the two represent the entire line of Hebrew prophets in testifying against Israel and warning of soon coming judgment of God on Jerusalem. So that's the context. So the mission of the two witnesses are rightly identified, therefore, with the person and work of Christ. In the story, in the narrative, like Jesus, they're sacrificial lambs. Their corpses unceremoniously litter the streets of Jerusalem. That's the very city in which the Lord was crucified. And by the way, the city is figuratively called Sodom. And the reason is it epitomizes human wickedness and heavenly wrath. It's also called Egypt, because it's emblematic of slavery, slavery from which only Jesus Christ can emancipate us. The witness's resurrection after 3.5 days, that's a parallel with the resurrection of Christ in much the same way that the 3.5-year ministry mirrors the ministry of Messiah. So the description of the witnesses is clothed in sackcloth. It identifies them with the tradition that I was just talking about, the tradition of the Hebrew prophets from Elijah to John the Baptist, who wore sackcloth as they mourned the apostasy of Israel. And that's really what you have. I mean, if you look at the book of Revelation as a whole, what do you have? We have letters to seven churches in the epicenter of a Caesar cult. And those churches are told to be faithful and fruitful. They're going to suffer for a short time. Their vindication is going to be an eternal vindication. So the story of the apocalypse, or the book of Revelation, which is an expanded Olivet discourse, is about a persecuted bride. It's also, however, about a prostituted bride, and then in the end about a perfected bride that the bridegroom, Jesus Christ, carries over the threshold of Jordan into a new Jerusalem in which there's no more death, mourning, crying, or pain. So the two witnesses, as I was just talking about, are a metaphorical reference to Moses and Elijah. Remember that Old Testament jurisprudence always mandated at least two witnesses to convict someone of a crime. In the case of the two witnesses, they're here accusing Israel of being apostate. They're riding the beast. They're in bed with the beast. They're supposed to be a light to the nations, but instead, they've prostituted themselves with the nations, and in this case, with the beast representing the Roman Empire in the context of the apocalypse. And the imagery also harkens back to familiar Old Testament passages in which Zechariah sees two olive trees on the right and the left of a lampstand. And they have symbolic meaning as well. So there's a lot in terms of the two witnesses that has to be understood within context. You understand the context by understanding the book of Revelation and the book of Revelation by understanding the Old Testament imagery, which John is reworking for the narrative that he is communicating in his expanded Olivet Discourse.
Can I follow up with something, Hank, if you don't mind?
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay, that was great. Yes, that hit on the one point that I was mentioning. Is just, I agree with you, the two witnesses, and I'm just saying God requires that same witnesses for a punishment of death. If whatever sin required death, they needed at least two witnesses. But God himself would be, wouldn't be following his own standard if he also didn't have the two witnesses. And yes, I understand the reference to Revelation. I was thinking specifically on this point is that you can see, actually, within creation, his witness, which verifies his word, because when you take the Jesus, Yeshua, in the Greek letters, and the New Testament was written in Greek, right, you have the number 666. When you look in the periodic table for carbon, it has 6 electrons, 6 protons, and 6 neutrons. And carbon is the basis of life, which ends up in death, right? And oxygen, that is the number. When you add up those 6 letters of the Greek name of Jesus, you come to 888. And oxygen has 8 electrons.
Yeah, I got to stop you there, though, because none of that happens to correspond with the 666. Or, you know, and by the way, it's not three, a triad of sixes. It's 600. 60 and 6. And it's a number representing a modern-day beast in the minds of so many people, but not in the mind of John as he's writing the Apocalypse. So again, when John, the author of Revelation, is telling a first-century audience that with wisdom and insight, they would be able to calculate the number of the beast because it's man's number, 666, as Revelation 13 puts it. Obviously, no amount of wisdom and insight in the 21st century would enable you, me, or anyone else, would have enabled a first century audience to calculate the number of a 21st century beast. And it would have been, in my mind, cruel and dangerously misleading for John to suggest to first century Christians that they could identify the beast if, in fact, the beast was a 21st century individual or institution. And there's much more that could be said about that, but I don't think that there's any warrant for the calculations that you are making. And I think this is one of the problems that we have today. We try to take scientific paradigms and read them back into scriptural passages. And I think that is going beyond reading something into the text that the text isn't meant to communicate. Now, the basic premise of what you're saying does have validity, and I commend you for that. It is true that the idea of witnesses is expansive and can have a more expansive application in the sense that you're talking about, where you have the two witnesses being, not that this is the application John is making in the book of Revelation, but the two witnesses being the special revelation that we see in creation, as well as the general revelation we see in creation, as well as the special relation, special revelation we see in the Bible. Well, we are just about at the end of this broadcast. No more time for any calls. I wanted to say a little more about socialism and capitalism, but we've run out of time. Maybe I'll do that on tomorrow's edition of the Bible Answer Man broadcast. Remember, as always, the number to dial, 888-ASK-HANK, numerically 888-275-4265. And do remember that this is a ministry supported by listeners just like you. Without you, we simply cannot do what we do. We are asking you to stand shoulder to shoulder with us in the battle for life and truth. When you give, you're not giving to us, but through us, touching the lives of people, not only for time, but also for eternity. Again, you can give in a safe, secure fashion on the web at equip.org, or you can give via the mail, box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271. The book that we're featuring is Hope of Nations, Standing Strong in a Post-Truth, Post-Christian World, as well as John Dickerson's book, The Great Evangelical Recession. And do remember, we have many other books available. When you're supporting the ministry, be pleased to send you one of the books, like the Complete Bible Answer Book, the answers to the questions of 660 and 6, as well as the two witnesses, the 144,000, many other questions answered in the Complete Bible Answer Book. Again, you can check that out at the web, available for those who support the ministry, equip.org. Thanks for tuning in.
We appreciate you tuning in to the Bible Answer Man broadcast. If you've been blessed by the broadcast and want more information to help you grow in the grace and knowledge of God, go to our website at equip.org. That's equip.org. To contact a resource consultant, call 888-7000-CRI. Again, that's 888-7000-274. Or you can write to us at Post Office Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271. The Bible Answer Man broadcast is supported solely by listeners like you. We're on the air because life and truth matter. Hank Unplugged is a new podcast brought to you by the Christian Research Institute. For decades, millions of listeners at home and abroad have enjoyed the answers and insights of the Bible Answer Man broadcast. Now, listeners can hear Hank Hanegraaff as he takes you out of the studio and into his study to engage in free-flowing, stimulating discussions on critical issues with some of the brightest, most interesting people on the planet. Hank Unplugged is a podcast designed to range further and dive deeper into both perennial and contemporary issues of interest to thinking Christians. To join the conversation, subscribe to Hank Unplugged on iTunes, equip.org, or wherever you get your favorite podcasts. And make sure you're a part of the conversation. It's a new channel of quality content that serious kingdom change agents won't want to miss.
The Christian Research Journal is CRI's award-winning magazine, combining eye-catching design with well-researched articles to equip believers in doctrine, defense, and discernment. Here's what's in the latest issue of the Christian Research Journal. It is important to understand the sources of our modern distaste for the teaching of the doctrine of hell, for they are part of the strongholds characteristic of our times. By critically exploring these sources, we can best instruct children in the essential biblical doctrine of hell and avoid an actual abuse of greater severity, which would be their being unaware of its reality. Other topics include Called to be Mere Ambassadors, The Story of God with Morgan Freeman, The Jesus of Mormonism, and much more. Start your subscription to the Christian Research Journal today by calling 888-7000-CRI, 888-7000-CRI, or subscribe online at equip.org. That's equip.org.